criminal justice reform bill has cleared the upper chamber, the First Step Act passing overwhelmingly yesterday, and now House leaders say they'll be taking up the bill before this week is over. The bill expands job training and other prison programs designed to keep released inmates from returning to prison. A high-ranking member of the Catholic Church in Los Angeles is now stepping down after allegations of sexual misconduct. Pope Francis accepting the resignation of Auxiliary Bishop Alexander Salazar just this morning. Salazar is accused of some sort of bad behavior back in the 90s with a minor, though details of the encounter have not been made public. Allegations have been turned over to the district attorney, though. And we're just getting word the Pentagon is planning a rapid and full withdrawal of U.S. ground forces from Syria. We'll have more on that story as it becomes available. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
For the second day in a row, the launch of a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station has been postponed. They're dealing with a faulty reading from a rocket sensor. It delayed the liftoff yesterday for that Falcon 9 that's to carry a next-generation GPS satellite into orbit as part of a national security mission for the Air Force. The common flu can be deadly to tens of thousands of Americans every year, so are we any closer to finding a cure for it? That question is looked at by USA Radio's Tim Berg.
The flu still kills around 30,000 people each year in the United States, and the disease remains largely mysterious. I had a chance to chat with Dr. Jeremy Brown. He's author of a new book titled Influenza, the 100-Year Hunt to Cure the Deadliest Disease in History. And I asked him, are we close to a cure for the flu?
So there are two ways that we think about curing the flu. One is to actually find a medicine that will attack the flu virus itself, much like we have antibiotics that can attack bacterial infections. And the second way is preventing the disease in the first place through vaccines. We are not yet we don't yet have either of these in a perfect form. The flu vaccine in its best years is only about 50% effective. And the antiviral medicines that we do have turn out to be not terribly good either. So we still have some work to do.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterton Chamber Radio. We've got a nice sunny day today, high of 42, low of 27 tonight, mostly clear. Tomorrow we've got mostly sunny and then some rain, high of 48, and then flood watch for Thursday night and Friday, high of 60 on Friday. Friday night, an additional chance of showers, low of 41. And then we've got mostly cloudy on Saturday, high of 46, and Sunday looks sunny, mostly sunny, with a high of 43. All right, well, I'm very happy to welcome to my show today three lovely ladies and one guy documenting it for the website and Facebook and all that social media stuff. But we're going to talk about Princeton Community Works, which is a workshop, an event that's held every January, the last Monday in January. And it's an event for all nonprofits. I think there's 400 or 500 people that come to this. It's giant. It's so much fun. And we're going to learn all about it. And this year's theme is Moving Forward Together. And again, it's on January 28th. And for a limited time until the 21st, you can sign up for $35, and then it's going to go up to $40. So you got to check it out, but we're going to tell you all that you get for your $35, which is a lot. So I'm going to start with Paula Gould. Welcome, Paula. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Oops, sorry. Okay, I got to turn her mic on. Welcome, Paula, again. Tell us how you got involved with Community Works and a little bit about the background. Your background as a volunteer and your role in the Community Works and putting it on every year.
After a number of years in the corporate world in New York, I started my own business.
Okay, and, go ahead.
And I met Marge Smith at a New Jersey Association of Women Business Owners event. And after hearing her talk about nonprofit, I went up to her and I said, would you like to do a workshop with me for the annual conference of NJABO on how to build your business with nonprofits, by volunteering on nonprofits? And she was like, yes. We didn't know each other, but we thought the same way. And in the past, I've been involved in women's organizations on their boards, on nationally and international. And so this was a natural fit for me. And then I became the executive director of NJABO shortly after that and closed my business. So, again, Marge and I worked together as a mentoring me to do this. And we've been friends ever since. And when she mentioned this in 2000, I think, I started volunteering. And I was too busy to make the meetings, so I would just do the door. So now I'm retired, and I'm very busy in nonprofit work.
That's amazing. Well, it sounds like you're ahead of your time, too, because now they talk about corporate social responsibility and integrating your business with your nonprofit work and working together. So you were doing that over 20 years ago, right?
Oh, well, yeah, I've been doing it for a number of years. Yeah. Because I really, what motivates me is I really want people to achieve their dreams. And so I was helping on organizations for women who were, at that time in the 70s and 80s, you know, you were just trying to get your foot in the door in the corporate world.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just been a passion. And yeah. I've been hang out with other women who have the same passion. And luckily, I have a husband who says, fine, just go ahead.
I know. I've got one of those, too. They're It works, right? It allows you to do what you do. Okay. Yeah. That's wonderful. So now let's talk to Ermine Smith. Welcome, Ermine.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about your volunteering background and what your role is in putting on Community Works and a little bit about the program this year.
Right. I'm also retired from corporate America. Retired in about 2008, did some consulting work. But after that, I decided I really wanted to focus on my volunteer activities. So I got involved with Dress for Success of Mercer County, which is now Dress for Success of Central New Jersey. And we focus on helping women to get back into the workforce, women that may be down and out for whatever reason or out of the workforce for whatever reason. We help them with image enhancement, that is the clothing, resume preparation, interview preparation, doing mock interviews. And we've been very successful, so I'm very happy with that volunteer effort. A couple of years ago, I met Marge at one of her morning meetings at her house for Princeton Community Works. I was invited by a friend. And that was 3 years ago, and I've been going ever since. The rest is history. Marge tapped me last year to help out by coordinating information on the speakers, getting their bios, their workshop information, keeping them up to date on everything that was expected of them for the Princeton Community Works event. And that's been fun to do. So this is my second year doing it. It's a challenge, but it's also very interesting, and I enjoy it. And it really comes together the night of the event when we see how all of that work we put in just getting everyone organized has really, really paid off.
So, yeah. It is an incredible event. I really look forward to it every year. And the speakers, the keynote speakers are always amazing, and the workshop presenters are very right on, spot on. They know their stuff. It's really a fun evening. Well, now we're going to talk with Dana Harris. And welcome, Dana.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi, Nicole.
We're happy to have a fellow radio host on the show.
Yes. I've been in radio off and on for 19, 20 years, ever since college. But as well as Paula and Armin. I met Marge. She kind of hand-plucked me from Mercer County Community College because I also worked for a nonprofit, been in a corporate world. I was a former banker. So after I left banking, I started working for a nonprofit. So I said, oh, I kind of like this. Let me, you know, go back to school and try to get my certification. And that's where I met Marge. I was one of her students and instantly connected. Loved her personality. And she was like, come on, come over to the house. I got the conference going on. I was like, you know what? Let me take you up on that. So that's exactly what I did. And I'm 2 years in. And what I do for Princeton Community Works, I kind of like the creative, the visual part of it. I kind of help out with the website and the signs, the flyers, kind of the social media technology part of it. And I love it. I love it. So
incredible.
This year, that's what I'm going to do, like the site map and the location and do the emoji and kind of bring it up to, because people are visual now.
Of course.
So kind of, instead of using words, kind of pictures.
Yeah,
to tell the story.
Yeah.
So that's what I do, and I love it. I enjoy it.
That's great. And Princeton Community Works has a Facebook page if you want to check that out. They have a website, princetoncommunityworks.org. So you can take a look at some, we're going to talk about some of the speakers, but you can take a look at the keynote and some history, and they've got all kinds of resources on there. So it's a great resource for anybody involved in nonprofits or working with nonprofits. And why don't we talk, we'll jump right in and talk about the keynote speaker, right? Talk about the keynote speaker and how that ties into the theme, because there's always a really good theme and the keynote addresses that. And but you want to talk about that?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. So our theme is moving forward together, and we've talked about, you know, what would really demonstrate moving forward together. And one of the images that came to mind was a team of rowers rowing crew. And we said, well, you know, we actually know somebody who has experience with that. And Kevin Cotter, who is at Princeton University right now, he graduated Princeton in 1996. He's an senior associate director of development at Princeton. Also is a 2-time Olympian and gold medalist, world champion in rowing. So who
incredible.
Better to demonstrate this theme than someone like Kevin Cotter? He's also a concert pianist. So he's a total Renaissance man, but he came to one of our meetings and was just so dynamic and so personable and really has all the qualities we're looking for in terms of team building and being able to convey that and really motivate and inspire an audience with his experience and his background. So we're excited to have Kevin.
Yeah, and the rowing, you know, the rowing's very big down in Princeton, Carnegie Lake and all that. And
exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's a great fit for the speaker and the theme and the place.
We have some pictures of him actually leading the rowing team, and it's
he has great energy.
It's really great. So we're excited.
That's very exciting. Well, we'll dig into the workshops and some other things in just a few minutes after we take a quick break.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Good morning. We're back with Happy to Help on Facebook. You can look for us at Happy to Help on Facebook or at Happy Hunterdon. And today we're talking with three of the women, the committee members from Princeton Community Works, which is an annual conference held in Princeton on the Princeton campus in the last Monday in January. And it's an amazing opportunity to learn about building your board or fundraising or changes in the accounting laws or building your brand, social media. There's all kinds of workshops available. And today we have on in the studio, we have Paula Gould, Dana Harris, and Ramin Smith, who are all have been on the committee and worked with the Princeton Community Works to make this amazing event happen. So I'm going to talk first about with Dana and Ramin. They're going to tell us a little bit about the icebreaker. So if you're kind of an introvert and you want to learn, but you get nervous about going to networking events and don't know what to do, they have an incredible icebreaker, and it's always different every year, and it's so fun. So do you want to start, Ramin, and tell us how that all works when you get there? What do you do?
Yeah, well, one of the things we really try to focus on, Nicole, is to have people come in and meet people they didn't know before. So people tend to walk in groups of twos or threes, but we try to split you up and have you meet other wonderful people in the room. We use that by using a color coding system. So this year we have something called a message in a bottle as our theme. We're actually giving away water bottles, great water bottles, which will have little messages attached to them.
Inside, like conversation starters to get the conversation started.
And they're color coded.
Yes.
The messages are color-coded. So the green people will sit with the greens, the yellows with the yellows, the pinks with the pinks. So you get the idea. Attached to the bottle are little questions or messages built around teamwork and not-for-profits and networking and volunteerism. So a question might be, what was your best volunteer experience? Or how can you contribute to make your organization even better? So we have a half an hour of wonderful networking before the keynote speaker comes on, and it really raises the energy in the room. And by the time we get to the end of the networking, people don't want to stop.
I know, right? It's always hard to get people.
And then with the questions, we also have a range of questions that could be for board level, staff level, as well as volunteers. So we kind of have like a mixture of everything. So if you get a question, you know, you should be able to answer it with no problem. So we kind of kept it as simple as possible.
Yeah, it just facilitates people getting together and having something to say. It gets rid of that awkward small talk, and you get right into the nitty-gritty, right?
And then you don't want to dig too deep, just enough to, you know,
exactly
lighten up the mood.
Yeah.
There's something in there for everybody.
Exactly.
It really is.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, and do you, any of you have want to talk about one of the workshops? Because there's like 20-some workshops, right?
22?
22 workshops, including several panels. A panel on grantors.
Okay.
So we have several grantors come in and talk about what's important to them from a not-for-profit point of view. A panel for the youth. We like to look at the youth
I love
community
that.
And see what they're doing. They're often doing some very exciting projects. So we look forward to that. But yeah, we have various workshops in various categories. So Paula's going to give us the categories.
Okay, great.
while back, we figured we had to have a minimum of one workshop from each of these categories. And since we have 22 workshops, we have a number of them in each category. Governance, in other words, building your boards. Financial, budgeting, IRS issues. Volunteers, how to get them and how to keep them and how to reward them. Technology, social media, fundraising, and skills, which includes everything that isn't included in the others, like leadership, legal, the art of delegation, things like that. But you've got, do you want to mention any other, Ermine, that may...
Well, the other thing that I was always impressed, like I was saying, there's the one that Elizabeth Wagner, whatever she's talking about every year, I go to hers because she is incredible and she's got a lot. She's is doing donor-advised funds this year. So with the tax law change, I think a lot of people are looking at more at donor-advised funds. And that's from the website. It says, demystify donor-advised funds and learn to engage, acknowledge, and grow this special group of donors. So it talks about she's a leader in her field. She's always a good presenter. She's well-read. She's got she was with, I think, Princeton Area Community Foundation. She was with Wounded Warrior. She's been in the business a long time, and she's good. And there's always everybody's bio is on there, so you can look at their bio. Sandra Toussaint Berger. Toussaint, you want to talk a little about her and what she brings to the table? Because she's going to be talking about you can't do it alone, how to attract and keep talent in your nonprofit staff. So she's good. Well, that's okay. Well, I've got it right here. How do you recruit top talent given a tight budget? What can you do to keep your workplace attractive? How do you communicate and show your desire to retain diverse talent? And why is it vital to set clear expectations and empower employees to exceed them? So the people, and they all donate their time, right?
They do.
Mm-hmm. So this is a whole, you want to say something, Paula?
Yeah, there's somebody else that we have, Laura Otten, who is the head of the LaSalle University Nonprofit Center. Mm-hmm. And she's the woman, every time she speaks, you just sit there and go, wow. Yeah. She's a visionary, and she talks about...
I might have to change my choices and sign up.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about her.
Yeah, it's really easy to sign up. You go to the website, you click on it, you sign up, and then there's two. You're as an attendee, you do the networking, and you get to see the keynote speaker, and then you get to attend two workshops. So and there, so the out of the 22, you have to pick two. It's hard to pick, but you can pick two and relating to what you want to get interested in, or sneak into another one if you want to. That's what I do.
You have time.
I know, right? So, but they're all so engaging. And let's a couple. Is there one that you notice gets attended every year that's really, really popular?
Well, I think people come out to see Marge herself.
Yes.
Marge herself is also a presenter this year, as every year. But this year she's presenting on effective leadership, engage, and empower. So that's one I think will be very, very well attended. She mentions that one of the challenges in working with groups is how to engage individuals so that they'll become an effective team and help make the mission of the organization a reality. And she's just great at that.
Yeah, and Marge is a force in Princeton, right?
She's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and
would you say she's a people collector?
Yeah,
she's a collector of people. She really does.
She's a people collector,
And a connector, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and she like we talked a little bit about. She opens up her home, so in the fall, she puts out the email and says, "Okay, everybody, come to my house for coffee and muffins, and we're gonna start." He's brainstorming. And it's every a couple times a month, I forget, right?
Every Friday.
Every Friday except for holidays.
Except the holidays, yeah.
Okay. So, and it's a great way to meet people and throw out ideas, and it all kind of comes together, and it's totally fun, right?
Yeah. Networking is wonderful.
And I like it because it's different backgrounds. Everybody has a different skill to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Different levels, board, staff, regular volunteers, or just somebody that want to get involved. Yeah. So that's what I like. But it comes together. Everybody comes together for the one mission. That's
because she cultivates that, right? Yes, she cultivates that atmosphere and the people. And then
whatever your perception is, you kind of lose it when you come through the door because she knows how to reroute the energy.
Yeah.
So I like that. She's good at that.
Yeah. The event itself is just mind-boggling. We get about 500 people, and 100 of them are volunteers.
Yeah.
And the energy when you walk out of that, well, just out of after the keynote,
yes.
I can tell the difference because I'm usually too busy to get to the keynote. And these people are just like euphoric, and they have a great time. Like the reviews we get every year, that's why we keep holding it.
Yeah, it's definitely a buzz. It's a high, a natural high. Yeah,
and it's affordable, too.
Yeah.
You have to look at that because a lot of these conferences is like $100 or better. So to keep it at $35, $40, you really get your money's worth.
Yeah.
And you walk out of there with some tools and some information that you can actually use.
And you're recharged for the new year, right?
Yeah. All of our speakers are free. I mean, they're gratis. They do this as a, you know,
it's a courtesy.
Give back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they get so empowered and energized. It's really very nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And just I do have Marge's bio right here. Marge brings great expertise in working with nonprofits, having served in multiple roles, executive director, board president, nonprofit consultant, and volunteer. She's had numerous opportunities to develop ways to motivate individuals and groups. She currently teaches nonprofit management and emotional intelligence at Mercer County Community College, runs board retreats and workshops for volunteers and staff. She's the founder and chair of the Princeton Community Works. She's a board member of CASA, of Burlington Mercer County, the Princeton Rotary Club, and the Princeton YWCA Friends. So she's quite involved. And Princeton Community Work started from Marge and a few of her Princeton Rotary friends. We know Rotarians are notorious for being giving and doing and action oriented. So it has Rotary roots, which is amazing. So, and so you go way back with Marge, right? You said you met her through the Polly, you met her through
The New Jersey Association of Women Business Owners when I started my business.
Yeah.
And, you know, the friends she started all this with are no longer around.
So,
she keeps doing it, and we keep saying, you know, you're going to do another year? And she's like, well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
I know. Well,
we're
meaning
all burning out.
She's not going to let you burn out. That's right.
Well, that's why she's collecting people. So this way she can pass the torch and be comfortable that she knows she passed it on to some good people.
Yeah, and it's energizing. So the soup kitchen that I run once a month, it was a group of women, again, that started it 25 years ago, and they're all getting older and moving and their lives are changing, so they're passing it on to a new set. So,
And it's a funny story because where I work now, Marge sat on the board 20 years ago.
Aww.
And that's funny. She's like, oh, you work at Child Care Connection? She was like, oh, I was on the board there many, many years ago. And the same people that's there was there when Marge was there.
Wow.
So that's funny.
Well, we're all addicted to volunteering. And like you said, you see the same people and you can interconnect because everybody's in and out of the boards and the organizations and stuff. So I'm hopefully with this show, we try and get more people to realize how much fun we're having, how rewarding it is, how much you whatever you give out, you get back in 20-fold, 100-fold, whatever, and it gives you purpose. That's why she doesn't want to quit, because it's everything to her. You know, as we and I always advocate that we start with your children. That's how I grew up, and then they'll get the bug, and then so we've got your son here, and he's got the bug. He's helping.
And they do volunteer work as well.
Yeah, no, that's good. So is it a family value that you've instilled, right?
Yep.
Yeah, taking them with you to work or to stuff?
We do September 11th. We do Trenton Cities, go clean the parks, plant flowers, a lot of in the city of Trenton.
Yeah.
And we do sort clothes for the Martin House and different little agencies that we go. And I bring my children with me.
Yeah, that's how
it's a family. It's a family event.
A family value, family event. Yeah, and you mentioned, Ermine, you mentioned Dress for Success. So one of the board members from the Madison Dress for Success was on the show last spring. And then I just dropped off stuff last night because the high school, they just did a Dress for Success accessories and purse collection. So at the high school, they've got a club. So do you want to talk about – that's an incredible organization.
Well, it really is. And we bring value to the lives of so many women. I can tell you personally, just dressing the women when they first come into Dress for Success, you know, they're a little downtrodden and they don't know what to expect. And we take them through the experience and we just dress them up in, you know, suits, dresses, jewelry, shoes, handbags, the whole works. And they come away just looking like and feeling like a different, new and improved person, ready to go get the interview and go get the job. So many women have been able just to transform their lives through Drives to Success. And you never know what a woman has gone through. Sometimes mm-hmm. she's had to leave her job because she wanted to stay home with her, raise her children, or maybe there was a sick relative she had to take care of, or maybe the job downsized and she no longer had a place there. Now she has to go for the new job. Mm-hmm. So we are always there for them. And last year, I think, or in 2018, we serviced about over 1,000 women.
Nice. At
Dress for Success, and a very high ratio of them got jobs.
Good.
Good.
So we're very, very proud of that and looking forward to doing even more in 2019.
Great.
Excellent.
Keep going. Yes, going.
I know. Well, did you instill the volunteer bug with your kids or your family, or how did you get involved in volunteering?
It's an interesting question. After I got out of corporate, I thought it was time to actually give back to the community. It's nice to work for profit and really have that as your motivation.
You need both, right?
And I worked in the pharmaceutical industry, which is something that we all need. But then I got out of there, and I said, you know, that's been good, but there's got to be more to life than just this. And I just looked around me. I said, there's so many people in need. Mm-hmm. What can I do to really give back? Mm-hmm. And that's when I met up with Dress for Success, and I said, this is really a good place to be. And in my heart of hearts, I like to help women and mm-hmm. help women to achieve. So this seemed a good way to go about doing it.
Yeah, and it was a good fit for you, right? You just felt at home.
I was out of corporate America. I'd done this dressing up
for
well over 20, 30 years. Yeah. I knew what it looked like to go in and get an interview, to go to work every day and have to dress for that. So these were things that were, you know, intuitive to me at that point in time. And I said, these are skills that I have. I can share these with other people.
Yep, that's amazing.
Yep.
And Paula, you said you were with Njabo. I can never say that correctly.
Right, Njabo.
Njabo.
Yeah, as their executive director.
Oh,
after
okay.
I became, well, I switched. They asked me if I would do that, and I was like, oh. My husband said, I can't believe you're going to get paid to do something you volunteered for all those years. Because I tried figuring it out one time why I'm like this, because the rest of my family isn't. And I realized my mother was a member of the women's club. But I always wanted to help people. And so, like the International Alliance, of which I'm still a member, it's still a member, is a worldwide organization. It started as a little local organization in Maryland from two women that owned a business and wanted to network with other women that owned businesses. And then it became the National Alliance, and now it's the International. And in my work days, we met all over the country, the world, for meetings, and it was to empower women. Yeah. It was also, we had financial literacy course for young girls in high school and elementary school, mm-hmm. start learning that. We also worked strongly to get women on boards.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, now we meet once a year in Florida, from all over the world to as the old girls. You know, we're not working anymore. We're retired.
Yeah.
But we still give back. We're still part of that organization. And it's just very rewarding. You know, when you volunteer, everybody is just, it's just such an enriching experience.
Right, because they're there because they want to be, not because they have to be.
Exactly.
Right? It's a whole different dynamic.
Yeah.
Right?
We've got the men's auxiliary, because now the husbands are traveling with us. Oh, there's a men's auxiliary.
Got to give them something to do.
So you're offering your wisdom and expertise. That's great.
And now I'm also involved a little bit at the Princeton Y for the tribute committee. And it's something I want to do. It's something I want to help with people. If that element isn't there, I don't bother to get involved. It's not for me. It's to make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah. Great. And Donna, what else are you involved in these days? Dana, sorry.
Well, working on my nonprofit certification, but also with the help of Marge, created my own nonprofit business teaching financial literacy.
Oh, my gosh.
So being a former banker for 17 years, loan officer, fraud investigator.
Wow.
Every type of position you can have in a bank, I've had it. And just to teach the kids, high school, young professionals, how to manage their money. So that's what I do. So I have my own, you know, social media, website.
What's it called?
Money Sense. And Marge gave me the name.
Aww.
Money Sense. S-E-N-S-E-N-S-E. MoneySense.
Money Sense. Okay. Money Sense. And then, so moneysense.org?
Yep, .org. And then I have my Instagram is moneysense.est2018. So Marge gave me the name, mm-hmm. and I kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
And I just go and I teach workshops wherever I'm needed. I do it at work and I help, you know.
Do you go to schools or?
Schools, work.
Yeah.
Nonprofit, other nonprofits. I go and just, you know, teach them the basics. I don't like to make it too complicated and use too much terminology that will lose the kids mm-hmm. or the young professionals. And just tell them, you know, you got to pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you invest it, put it away, mm-hmm. buy property, don't rent. Like little stuff that can help them along the way that I learned. Because I went to college for communications and I kind of stumbled into banking.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned everything on the job.
Yeah.
And I did budgeting. Junior achievement. So that was my volunteer bug at the bank because we did junior achievement where we would go in and help the kids with the savings accounts and money skills, basic stuff. And after that, I just kept doing it.
Yeah.
After I started with junior achievement. So that was kind of it for me. I'm like, okay, it's more to the corporate world than this. You know, I made good money. I work for a nonprofit now. It's mm-hmm. it's not a lot of money, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. And I love going back to these organizations that have been around forever. The Rotary Club, Junior Achievement, yep. the Scouting, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, mm-hmm. like all these that facilitate and incorporate giving back in their very core. Like you learn something, you learn valuable skills, but because there's all these new things, which is great, but yeah. I mean, the tried and true is still, it's where a lot of people got their start.
Exactly.
So that's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, I love Junior Achievement. And my husband is a CPA and we were at the Christmas party the other night and I had no idea, but some of the other coworkers were saying they go out into the schools and do financial literacy for the local schools where the office is. I had no idea.
Yeah, because you know what, these kids don't know.
I know.
And,
well,
and
yeah.
even with my kids and my son like going off to college and paperwork and
yeah.
just, you know, they don't write checks anymore. We had to write checks.
I know.
They don't write checks. Yeah. Everything is electronic.
Venmo and
yes,
and PayPal
transfer and this and ETF. So it's just
it's kind of like funny money. You don't. Yeah. It's less. You know, for me because I'm
tangible.
Old. Like the tangible, exactly.
It's not tangible.
Yeah.
So they don't kind of get that concept. So, but the basics of money don't change. So I kind of give them the basics and I tell them you can go here, you can go there. But that's what I enjoy. And then I do radio. Also.
Yeah. I know, right? You're a natural. I know. That's good. Well, and I think, too, if people just simply connect, like how someone told me this, too. She said, well, I went and I bought this pair of shoes for $80. And then when I went back and figured out how many hours I had to work to just get that pair of shoes, it was like, wow, is that worth it? So it's connecting the time, which time is so valuable, and what you're making to the dollar amount and what you're buying.
Exactly. Nicole, I just wanted to say that's a great example. Dana and I have actually collaborated teaching financial literacy in our with a group called
Urban Promise.
Urban Promise out of Trenton. And one of the things we did was actually show the kids how you can start to put together a budget if there's something that you want. And one of the things we used to illustrate was a pair of sneakers. So we said, how much does that pair of sneakers that you want really cost? And it's like, oh, $120. Oh, well, what do we have to do to make $120 in order to afford those sneakers? Not just go to mommy and daddy and ask for $120, but, you know, if you're making $10 an hour on your job, how many hours do you have to put in to get those sneakers? So it's relating the work to the value of the item that you want. And that is really a skill that kids do need to learn.
They do.
Yeah, and then they do a second guess on, do I really want this or do I need this?
Or like, do I need it now? Or can I wait till next month? Or,
Yeah, no, it's a very...
Or I need more.
Or save a little at a time and get it.
Exactly.
That's what I tell my kids. Save a little at a time. It's a want. It's not a need.
Exactly. And then when my son got his first paycheck, we counted 9 deductions for, you know, because they take out state taxes, local tax, whatever. Yeah.
And it's shocking the first time a kid sees that
coming
out.
I know. Like, wait a minute. You know, so yeah, you make X dollars an hour, but the government takes part of that. And the, you
and
know,
the state.
Yeah.
State.
Everyone gets their
you gotta explain those withholdings.
Exactly.
To so the kids because they don't know.
Yeah. It's an education.
Reality.
Yeah. Yeah. So we
enjoy it.
Yeah. And, well, the other thing that I, for maybe you do this and we like to tell people, because it was always you break your money up into pockets or pots mm-hmm. where you have, you know, spend, save, mm-hmm. and give should be one of those, right?
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
Yeah. So you've got your mandatory or your living expenses, but then you want to invest. So there's four. Yeah. Yeah. Spend, save, invest, and give. Yeah. So if you, there's like little banks out there that are so cute that have four compartments in them. So mm-hmm. even if you've got a 4 or 5 year old, they can put pennies in the, you know, you exactly. can start young, right?
The average age is 7.
Really?
That
for
sets
what?
The skills for money habits.
Really?
For the kids.
I did not know that.
Old.
Oh.
7 years
and actually
old.
Actually, I started young because the Philadelphia Savings Fund Society, which is no longer in existence, came to our elementary school and gave us little passbooks that we could fill up with quarters.
I remember doing that as a banker.
And start our own bank accounts.
Yeah.
And
we
when
had the
I
little
saw
passbooks.
Every week my little bank account building up and I got interest, I said, this is powerful.
Oh, that's great.
I know. At 5 or 6 years old.
So 7 is the average age.
Seven. All right.
Years old, yeah.
So if you've got a first grader out there, get going. Let's give them a bank for Christmas. A grandkid or
teach them the basics.
Right. And start filling
well,
those
it'll
five.
It'll be cryptocurrency by then.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week.
That's
the,
next.
Last week, the guy was talking about blockchain and Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So.
I just signed up for that, so I'm going to learn it.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Princeton Community Works.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. You're listening to Happy to Help. And today we're talking with Princeton Community Works. We're talking with Ermine Smith, Dana Harris, and Paula Gould. They are all volunteers with Princeton Community Works. Princeton Community Works is an annual educational conference for nonprofit board staff and volunteers. It is coming up on Monday, January 28th, and it's from 5 to 9:15 p.m. at Princeton University. And if you want to register, it's princetoncommunityworks.org. And it's well worth it. Monday night, you probably don't have anything else on your calendar. It's only $35 if you register before December 21st. And you get a keynote speaker, you get networking, you get all kinds of great ideas, and you get to sign up for 2 of the 22 workshops offered that offer everything from governance, training your board, fundraising, navigating social media, developing your brand, hiring volunteers, and it's just an energetic, a fully wonderful evening of empowerment and energy and ideas, and it's a great way to kick off the new year. And this year's theme is Moving Forward Together, and the keynote speaker is Kevin Cotter, who is a two-time Olympian and gold medalist. He's a rower, so imagine moving forward in that rowboat and starting your 2019 off right with this incredible conference. So we're going to talk with Paula Gould. She's going to tell us about the youth conference or the youth panel and how that, because there's young and old, everybody's welcome. So,
yeah. Volunteers are the lifeblood of any nonprofit. And the dilemma people have is they can't get the youth to really work in the volunteer organization. So how do you attract them? What makes them tick? So we decided to, a few years ago, to start a panel on youth. And we found young people who had looked at the world, said, this isn't right, and found a way to fix it. And we've had that now for 4 years. The first year, it was two young women who created a handbook or method, whatever, that is now or was used in the Princeton school system. I don't know if it still is, on how you speak, you know, with different groups in diversity. It's a diversity literacy, something like that.
Nice.
So, and every year it's different. One young woman was a Girl Scout and saw that one of the trails in one of the parks,
yeah.
Right. Didn't have any anything for people who couldn't see. So she had them all, you know, new signs made up. So there are all these different things, and I'm excited. I think I signed up for the youth panel this year because I want to see
what kind
of
ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these young people come up with amazing. The two women that did that diversity literacy skipped their gap, took a gap year before going to college. They did a TED Talk.
Wow.
They have made so much. They created a curriculum, all this stuff. So it's when you hear that and then you say to them, what motivates you? You know, if the people in the nonprofit sector really are concerned, want to learn how to engage youth, then understand what's motivating them.
Yes.
Because you can do that. I mean, it's a different subject matter, but if you can create the right passion, then you've got all kinds of opportunities to support your organization and your mission.
Yep, and I think some of that comes from scouting and from community, from your church, from your school, from your family. So, yeah, whatever they got to get them going, which is good, but also to figure out what motivates them and keeps them.
Right.
Yeah, it's good to see those examples.
You know, if they start early and volunteer, later in life, they will come back to giving. And so it's like you said, you know, it's important to do.
Because my son, he volunteers on his campus, too.
Yeah.
So he kind of took that with him off to college.
Oh,
so it does
nice.
Work.
Well, and it keeps you grounded. So, I mean, kids are they have so much on their plate today between sports and school and getting to school and taking tests. And so it's a breather almost, like a refreshing breather to just, and also to interact with people of different age groups. Because you're not up with a bunch of your peers on a team, and you get to break out of that and deal with people who have been in volunteering for 20, 30 years or help little kids or elderly or whatever. It's just a breather and a chance to connect with humanity of all levels.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe you need different age groups around for the whole team.
Right.
You need some teens, some young adults, some 20s, 30s, 40s. You need a mixture.
Yeah.
To see what everybody else is doing.
Well, everybody brings their own skill set
exactly.
as well. Yeah, whether it's experience or, you know, they're tech savvy, which I'm not. So, Ermine, you're going to talk a little bit about a couple of the workshops or the people that you're excited about this year.
I am. This year we have some new workshops that we haven't seen before, so I'm looking forward to taking a big idea and making it a reality. That's one of our workshops. You know, oftentimes you have this idea and you say, gee, I really want to do that, but how do you do it? We have a very dynamic speaker, Marty Johnson, coming in. He's the founder and CEO of Isles, Inc., which is an urban sustainable development organization that fosters self-reliance and healthy neighborhoods. So some of his thoughts around taking that big idea and turning it into reality are where good ideas come from, defining that, how entrepreneurs convert ideas into action, successful entrepreneur habits and attributes, and also how our ecosystem supports and undermines us. So that's one that I will probably personally, if not attend, I will bounce in on it and see what's going on with Marty and what he's doing there.
I know, it's hard to pick two, right? I mean, that's why I cheat and go in and out. So just go collect business cards and no. But
Last year I did one on effective networking, and that was great. We actually did some networking exercises in the session itself. Mm-hmm. I also did one on budgeting. I think Dennis Kilfeather does that, and he says just because it's not for profit doesn't mean we're for a loss. He sets up some tools and worksheets, and actually it does some very practical exercises on tracking expenses and making sure you have the grants coming in that are supporting the expenses, and that's a very interesting one. So every year it's different, and I always have a little bit of difficulty just picking two.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, taking the big ideas is a good one. There's also another one here I'm looking at. It's called Brand Aid, Making It Resonate. So how does your nonprofit idea stick to stakeholders? How do you actually package it so that it stays with people? You know, what does that branding look like? Mm-hmm. We have Susan Merrill O'Connor, who's the Director of Communications at the Center for Nonprofits, who's going to run that workshop for us. So I'm excited about that one as well.
Yeah, it's good to get new ideas and mix with people, and you get so much out of that. And I think it's an interesting and exciting time in the nonprofit sector, because people are realizing just because you're nonprofit doesn't mean you have to be dodgy and behind the times and struggling. You really, if you just change your mindset, you can rule the world, rock the world, and use resources, use people. There's so many ways, and this conference lays it all out for you as to how you can utilize tools and people to soar and do more good work for more people and energize the people working for you as well.
And collaborate. You know, so often we get synergies. We make it a sustainable activity so it doesn't have to fizzle out, you know, one year into your nonprofit and, you know, you're out of funds and you're out of business.
Right.
No, we make it a sustainable, renewable activity.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I can't emphasize it enough. So the workshops fill up quickly. So you got to click, you know, register and then pick your workshops. And the other thing that we didn't mention is there's food.
Yes.
You get a free dinner out of this.
Yes.
A free box meal and cookies and coffee. So it's all about the food.
They have plenty of food.
That's
yeah.
Great.
So that, you know, hey, all that.
That might be some motivation.
Right. So food.
We have to keep them energized.
Right. Exactly. And so food for the belly and food for the soul. So, it's really, really great. So, what else we got? We got measurements and metrics for success. Oh, the tax law. We've got grants and governance, youth service. We talked about that.
Strategic planning.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Right. And I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. Happens to me all the time. Yeah.
Oh.
So do you have a favorite?
Oh, okay. The workshop's filling up. It's not because we can only do it. We're subject to the classrooms that Princeton gives us.
Yeah.
So in some instances, it'll only hold 10 or 12 people. So if you look at this and like a workshop, register immediately, because we never know how many people are going to register for a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And we may put them in a smaller classroom, and then all of a sudden all these people come and they want to do it and you can't get in. So you have to go someplace else. So.
Yeah.
You know, register early so we know how to gauge the rooms.
Yeah, because there's a couple of the big rooms,
right.
And then the rest are mostly classrooms. But it seems everybody kind of filters out. I mean, you do a good job of pre-registering and calling who's going to draw the big crowds. But, yeah.
Yeah, we give you three options. Your first two, we really try to give you that. Because the third one is if the room is still full, you'll get your third option. So
pick them seriously.
Right, and if there's someone, if you didn't get in first per se, but there's someone you really want to meet or a presenter you really want to meet, like they said, there's 100 volunteers that, and they pretty much know who everybody is, so you just have to flag someone down and say, hey, I didn't get into their session, but I really want to connect with them, drop a business card, or, you know, so there's, it's definitely a very fluid community mm-hmm. event. So you can, if there's somebody you want to see, you just read through the bios and you can definitely make a connection with them. Yeah.
And I just wanted to add, while we do encourage everybody to sign up early, because that way you have a better chance of getting your workshop, we do have walk-ins on the night of.
Yep.
So you can come in and register that night. The only thing is you'll have to get into the workshops that are where
available.
There's space left, because many may be sold out by that point in time. But you still can get in on the night of.
Yeah, so if you've got a busy schedule, you don't know your travel schedule right away, there's definitely just show up if you're in town. Mm-hmm. Show up.
Because you can still network.
Yeah, definitely. And I always get there early because parking can be kind of challenging sometimes. So
yes, it can. Yes.
They open up one of the faculty lots, right, that's pretty close, but that not till 4:30 or something.
Yeah, we're told that the west lot will open up, and I think it's around 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and there's a shuttle from the west lot that will bring you over to the Frist building. There's also the Princeton parking lots that right. are available. That's, you'll have to walk a couple of blocks to get to
yeah.
Frist, but yeah, they're available as well.
Yeah, and so yeah, get there early for more networking, and all of that is definitely detailed on the website, which again is PrincetonCommunityWorks.org.
Yes.
And any final words, ladies, before we sign off today?
Thanks for having us.
It's so fun, right?
Yes. Looking forward to the conference and seeing everybody come out and support the cause and the mission and meet some new friends.
Yep. And thanks for all you do. So, if you want to meet Marge and get involved in the committee and have muffins and coffee at her house next fall.
Even better. Everyone's welcome.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's. It really is. It's such
bring a... Bring a friend.
And if you do want to volunteer for anything, you can go on the website and click on the planning committee meeting or just to volunteer.
The schedule is
and
there.
The schedule is there mm-hmm. that you can sign up, fill a form out, and it'll go in and we'll put you on the list and let you know when the next meeting is.
Incredible. All right. Thank you so much, Lisa. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole.
We appreciate being here.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.